And again, we give each one a warm welcome to our gospel service tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless his word to each heart. We want to read some verses in Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25. I think at the very beginning of the singing this evening, we found that hymn with the words, "In a little while, I'm going home." Just now with some words like these, "Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain." Or again, "Soon thy heart left cold and silent. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and the Saviour's pleadings cease." These verses in Matthew 25, it's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's telling us exactly what is meant by those words that we've sung already. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and drew their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. That last verse that we read, verse 13, brings the challenge of this parable in very clear language. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Just earlier, before the reading, in the time of prayer, Simon was quoting the words of Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, some of the last words that Peter wrote just before he gave his life. And in answer to the challenge that was being raised, where is the promise of his coming? Peter writes these words, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but his long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance." Peter was writing maybe 30, certainly less than 40 years after the Lord Jesus was crucified. Now we're perhaps somewhere near 2,000 years since that time. And maybe the question might still be asked, but you know the answer of God is just the same. God's desire is that all men might be saved, that they might recognize their need and repent. They might come to repentance. And this parable, we've got 10 people. 10 people that, to all appearances, would all be seen to be in the same situation. "Here are 10 people, what are you doing here?" You saw them standing, and if you might ask the question, "Well, what are you doing?" "We're waiting for the bridegroom to come." And Have you got what you need? Well, look, I've got my lamp here. Yes, I'm all here. I've got my lamp. I've got my vessel for oil. As far as anyone could see, there was no difference in the preparation that these 10 people had made. As far as you could see, looking at the people, looking at what they had, there was absolutely no difference. What you couldn't see is what we read in verse 3. And again in verse 9, or in verse 8, verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, as you go through the Bible, there would be something like 200 references to oil. And on nearly every occasion, the reason for oil was for the light. And particularly it would speak of the light that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. We look at a building like this. And outwardly everybody is exactly the same. Everybody's calm, everybody's sitting listening to the word of God. Everybody maybe is thinking that they would want to be sure that they are going to heaven. I suspect I am right in thinking that people would not come to a place like this unless they had some desire to be sure that they have a place in heaven that their sins are forgiven. And if you asked, if anyone was to ask, well, why do you go to that place? Ah, because we want to hear what God's word says, and we want to know we have a place in heaven. But you see, the question comes not what is the outward appearance. The question comes, what have you done about it? Now again, this is not planned in any way, but the hymns that we've sung earlier have emphasized exactly what God's word would tell us. I think a number of times earlier in the hymns we've sung about, look, there is life for a look at the saint, the crucified one. Look and live. There's been the promise of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What makes the difference? What takes a person who outwardly is living a good life, outwardly who is listening to the word of God, what changes that person and makes them fit for heaven? I was actually recalling something that I heard around 40 years ago now, earlier today. And there was somebody telling me he had spent 2 weeks preaching the gospel like this in a hall. Similar hall to this. There was a woman in that hall who had been coming to those meetings and coming along to meetings at that hall for 50 years. 50 years. And she'd heard the gospel message week after week after week. She was one of the most regular attendees at Lockwood. But she had never acted on what she heard. And when this man was speaking to her in those 2 weeks, he came to the sad realization that while she knew and while she had listened to the gospel being preached for 50 years, she had never taken it to heart for herself. She was happy enough that just coming and listening to the word of God was enough to save her. She was happy that living a good life, that going to church would see her into heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And what is repentance? Because that's where everything will start. Repentance is allowing the light of God to shine into your life. Not just coming and sitting and listening to a message week after week and going out, but letting God shine into your heart to show what we're really like as God sees us. Not looking and saying, well, you know, I'm a good person. We certainly read about a man, I know we often quote him, in John chapter 3, who was a teacher of the Jews. He knew the truth of God, he knew the Old Testament. He was a good lot, they had every reason to believe that he was a good man, that he would live, outwardly he would live a righteous life. He came to the Lord Jesus, and he said to the Lord, we read it in John chapter 3, we know you're a teacher who's come from God. The Lord Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you are looking to get into heaven. You are looking to get into the kingdom of God. You won't see it unless you've been born again. And Nicodemus said, well, what does this mean? And so the Lord Jesus said, verse 5 of John chapter 3, except a man be born of water and of the blood, and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus would know what that meant, or should have done, because it's taken directly from Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, in a company like this, the moment I say Ezekiel chapter 36, with the exception of the smile on Simon's face, most eyes and sort of, what? Where's Ezekiel found? What's Ezekiel 36? But Nicodemus was the teacher. He was one of the leading teachers of the Jews. He would be reading that year after year. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, the Lord gives the promise that he's going to sprinkle them, he's going to wash them in clean water, and he's going to put his spirit into the hearts of the people. Nicodemus would realize, or should have realized, exactly what the Lord Jesus was meaning. I have no doubt, certainly by the time the Lord Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus did understand. exactly what that meant. I didn't just understand it, but came into the good of it. Nicodemus, it doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how righteous you may think you are. Inside your heart is the corruption of sin that needs to be cleansed. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying, first of all. That's what he meant by being born of water. The sin has to be washed away. Even the best of men, even the person that you can't point a finger at, is corrupt. Listen to the words of the Lord through Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, or incurably wicked. Inside every one of us, there is that, what it is, what the Bible calls sin. And from the moment we are born, it takes control of our life. David said in Psalm 51, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And the first part of repentance is recognizing and acknowledging in the sight of God that that is what God sees. And when God says that is the case, that it is absolutely true. The Lord Jesus makes it clear in Matthew chapter 5, if you go back to that chapter, that it's not just the things that we do that will condemn us. God looks down into the heart. And it might be possible that you could look back on your life and there has never been anything that you could remember in your life that would be said to be wrong. Perhaps very unusual, very unlikely. But even if you could do that, God's looking down inside us, and the very times that we've thought about things that are wrong. You might not have carried out the action, but just the thought of sin brings the condemnation of God. And so we start with the point. David puts it in Psalm 14, Psalm 53. He puts it this way: the Lord looked down from heaven among the sons of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God, and there was none. That's God's verdict. Romans chapter 3 will detail that. As Paul there by the Spirit of God tells us just what God sees in the heart of man. You could sit here and we could spend all night, and you could spend all night arguing with me as to whether that is really true in your experience. What God is waiting for you is for you to say, yes, that is true. Because when you stand before God, you will see it is absolutely true. And God will show it, and he will show every part of your life that has come short of his standard. But then repentance, it can say, will take us a bit further. Because maybe you're sitting there and praying, well, yes, okay, I know I've slipped up, I know there's been problems in my life. But you know, I turn over when you leave. You know, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do better. There's a man who came to the Lord Jesus, and we read about him just a little earlier in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, And he came to the Lord Jesus and he said, you know, all these things have I kept from my youth upwards. Oh well, yes, you know, I know, yes, in my childhood days I may have slipped up, but ever since I came of age, I've kept all these things that God expected from that day forward. And the Lord does two things with that man. He shows it very clearly. He exposes the fact that he has broken the first and the last commandment of God. He didn't even take him back and say, well, it's not, it doesn't matter about your youth. What about before that? He takes, he just shows, because he said, go sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful, because he had great riches. He wasn't prepared to trust God, he trusted in his riches. He had made riches his God. He wasn't prepared to give to others. He kept. He wanted to keep for himself. He was breaking the commandments of God every day. But he wasn't prepared to admit it. And he went away sorrowful. Now what about you? You know, you'd look at that rich young man in Matthew chapter 19 and you'd say, well, you know, if anyone's going to get into heaven, it's him. You'd have looked at Nicodemus and you'd have said, well, if anybody's going to get into heaven, it's him. In fact, when the young man came to the Lord Jesus and he went away sad, the disciples had to come and they asked the Lord Jesus, well, who can be saved? Who can be saved? If even a man like this can't be saved, who can be saved? And here's where we come. What does it mean to repent? I'm a guilty sinner in the sight of God. I can't do anything about to save myself. And the third step in repentance is I need someone to save me, and the only person who can save me is Christ. And you know, that's where we come to what we were singing in those hymns, look and live. There's life when we look at the crucified one. In the words of Isaiah chapter 45, the words of the Lord, recorded in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, he says, look unto me, all ye ends of, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Yes, there is salvation. And it's not difficult. You know, this is the wonder of God's message. Come back to where we were. Five had oil, five didn't. In the parable. How do we get the oil? How do we get the Holy Spirit? We don't have to be in any doubt. Because the Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 7 that for after the time of his resurrection and ascension back to heaven, the Holy Spirit would be given to everyone who believed in him. From that day forward. How do we get the oil? How do we get the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter, let's read, just read those words. John chapter 7. We're not making this up. John chapter 7 and verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they which that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. From the very time that the Lord Jesus went back to heavenly glory, everyone who believes in him immediately receives the Spirit of God. In the picture of the parable, they immediately have the oil for the lamp. But until they believe, they don't. And that is the simple difference. It's not just in that. We could go to John chapter 3 and verse 36, and that will give us exactly the same message in clear words. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. A simple choice. By faith, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that our only hope of heaven, our only hope of salvation, is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive him, and the moment we receive him, he gives us the Spirit. You know, we're talking, the parable is talking about a bridegroom. When a woman promises to marry a man in this country, typically the first thing that will happen is that the man will give that woman a ring, an engagement ring, as the sign that she has been promised in marriage to him. God's word takes up that very same picture and says that for the person who has taken the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour, the moment they take the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour, they receive the earnest, the pledge, the promise of the Spirit of God. And that is given as the pledge. In exactly the same way as a man would give an engagement ring to his intended wife, the Lord Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him as the promise. Today, for us today, the promise is that we are going to be the very bride of Christ. And when the Lord comes, the first thing that's going to happen is every Christian is going to be taken away into heaven to be presented as the bride of Christ. We're going to, that marriage is going to take place, and all the believers are going to be joined together as the bride of Christ. When that moment comes, will you be taken? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you recognized your need? When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I wasn't fit, I wasn't worthy of God's salvation. I didn't have any strength to earn it, but Christ died. And that's the only answer. And the moment by faith we believe that and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us that promise that we have everlasting life. We have the Holy Spirit as the seal that we belong to him and nothing can separate us from him. We have the assurance that when the Lord comes and the shout is raised as the Lord comes, and every believer, the dead are raised, the living are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and he'll be with them. And everyone who by faith has received the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith has received the Spirit of God and the life that he gives, will be taken to meet with him. That parable ends with the sad picture of those knocking at the door. Lord, Lord, open to us. And it's forever too late. Because they'll realize that sitting under the sound of the word of God alone, that trying to keep the commandments of God, that trying to live a good life, won't save. That the only thing that will save is looking to the crucified one. Believer, when the Lord died on the cross, it was for you, it was for me, and taking him as Saviour and as Lord, shall we pray. Gracious Lord, tonight again we just thank thee and praise thee indeed for the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the assurance that all who put their trust in him will hear his voice and will be taken to thee forever with the Lord, to the home in heaven, to the place that he has prepared for them that love him. Tonight, there is every heart in this place. We just pray that it might please thee that there would be one here tonight who would be left should the Lord come, left to face the judgment of God that will come upon this world, left to hear those sad words of the Lord Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We look to thee and ask thy blessing now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.